kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
This is an unfortunate day.
Joining as usual is everybody this episode. We've got kind of like an SML family reunion going on. We've got the Party Cast crew here. Chris is here. Purnell's here. Tim's here. We've got Aki here. We've got Jacob here. And we've even got Chris Huber coming back to hang out with us. How is everybody doing?
Oh, hey.
Woo. I've officially become Chris too, and I'm okay with it.
Yes, I've ascended.
Here's the real question, Chris. How many gold points did you earn this year? Because apparently they tabulate that now.
Oh God, yeah, they do that.
Wait, how many what?
How many Nintendo gold points did he earn?
Dude, I don't follow that shit. Like, Joe, I'm on your plan. You check it for me.
Well, you should have gotten an email with your year in review.
I mean, I probably did.
Just go to switch.nintendo.com. It'll have it right there if you log in.
You think I know my login information?
Oh, well, I mean, if I know it.
Well, the first thing you got to do is you attempt to log in, lock yourself out. Then request to get your account reopened.
So like how I always log into stuff.
Exactly, right?
Tell them your mother's maiden name. It'll be fine.
Suspiciously.
Listen, if these places didn't make me change my fucking password every 2 hours, then like maybe I would remember it.
Just get in pass and you'll be okay. It saves all your passwords. It can even make passwords for you. It's great. Just go get that and you'll be fine. Then you don't have to remember.
I was trying like the whole like the Google password thing where it like autofill stuff. And then I got a new phone and it all went to shit.
Yeah.
like a new phone to bring it to shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've got like everything like reconfigured and synchronized and stuff, but just like even just the process of that, like it was interesting because I mean, I'm the guy that tries to make my phone last as long as I possibly can. So I try to wait about like 3 or 4 years before I do an upgrade. And like I was putting it off for a while, but like the glass that was covering my camera was broken and like all this other shit. I'm like, oh, it's good. Still it's fine. Still calls. I'm fine.
Totally.
That's weird. You use your phone to make calls?
See, like,
that's gross.
Gross, yeah.
What the fuck
of
is
all
that?
Years, I tried to make this my year, like one of my like New Year's.
Oh, we all did.
To, like, not be in my phone as much.
I'm never on my phone if I can avoid it.
Yeah, I'm still doing good with it. Actually, like I haven't used it as much as I did the year before. Surprisingly, even with that, like everything going on, you know.
So my question is. Since the pandemic started, has anybody actually called on the phone a pizza place to get delivery?
Yes.
No.
No.
I call.
What else do you do to get delivery?
You could do DoorDash.
I don't delivery. I go to pick it up.
I never get things delivered. Yeah, I always go there.
There is no delivery options here.
But you have DiGiorno, because that's good enough.
Well, funny enough,
there's one pizza shop up by me that actually
I guess
has
when your options are Maryland
pickup.
Pizza.
Yeah, the pickup, they have like an actual like drive-through window.
Oh, wow.
Well, you Jerry's.
Oh, wait. I've never been to Jerry's, but Shelly's has a drive-through window, too.
Well, yeah, because I mean, most of the places up by us, it's like the places are so small, you can't actually put people in them anyway. So,
no.
Like, it's just like you have just enough space for like the ovens for the pizzas, and that's it.
I'm looking at root beer stats in chat right now. 10,000 gold points.
What?
Shit.
Is that good?
Chris!
That's like $100.
That's sick. That's crazy good. Holy shit.
Ruining us.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I had like 1,900.
He actually played more games than I did this year, too.
Wow.
190,
I know, versus my 175.
112 games here compared to last year's 130. What am I doing, guys?
God, I had 230 last year.
I only have 2,000 gold points.
Yeah. I think I did a review this year.
And I only played 16 different games on my Switch this year.
Wow.
Let's be honest, if there was an Xbox year in review, I'd be like, well, we can't even tabulate what Joe's been playing. It just broke the counter.
Okay, wait, what do you go to check the Switch one?
I'll drop a link into the Skype call.
Sure. I'm going to scour my email.
Because I just want to laugh at the fact that I don't play shit on my Switch.
Is there one for Xbox that isn't related to that piece of shit True Achievements?
No, not Beyond True Achievements.
Damn it.
I'm actually kind of surprised they didn't just integrate one at this point, because...
Yeah, I would really like that. Because I want to know just how many hundreds of hours I've spent on my Xbox this
year. Your most played games. Animal Crossing, Tetris 99,
yeah,
Waifu figure. Uncovered.
Oh, wait a second.
Hey, I got Crystal H on mine.
Is that the one with the girls who want bigger boobs or something?
No, that was...
Omega Labyrinth.
Yes, Life.
You water, I want that game.
You water the garden with their juices. It's just disturbing.
I'm sorry?
It's not disturbing. That's fantastic. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Hey, it could be both. It could be great disturbing.
I so considered it this week because it's like $36 now, like for the the season pass bundle.
That game had DLC?
Huh?
Omega Labyrinth had DLC?
Oh my god,
yeah,
I remember
my regular password. There's a regular and a bundle version.
Huh, let's go look at that. Now I'm curious. Maybe the DLC bundle's cheap. But
Joe, did you ever change off the starting soon screen?
No, I guess not.
Still well, the DLC is just juice.
Whatever.
Fine.
It is mine a fun is game, though. I will
pathetic
say that. I will say that. If you like, if I feel like Dark Mika would, honestly, if you like roguelikes, you would love the game because it is genuinely.
I hate roguelikes. That's a Cole thing. Cole likes roguelikes. I don't.
I like roguelikes.
Maybe the titillation will push you over, though.
I do like boobs, though. So that's something.
Well, you'll get drunk on them in this game. I can tell you that. They're everywhere. They get powered up by getting bigger breasts in dungeons.
I don't know. What the fuck are you people talking about?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. How did we even get past how's everyone doing?
No.
I
didn't think so.
I don't think anybody wants to know.
Bigger boobs.
I don't even think we got past Purnell's question to me about how many gold points I earned.
We didn't. Chris, how many gold coins did you earn?
Apparently, 3480.
That's not bad.
Oh my god!
That's a solid amount.
I had 917.
I have
wait,
zero.
Where do you see the coins? I don't see how many coins like I got.
Very bottom. If you scroll down, it's at the very bottom. If you're on the webpage.
Yeah, 915 for me.
I got zero.
I guess I got none.
Here's the real question: how many games starring Mario did you play?
Zero.
Is
zero.
That what the Mario missions?
Three.
Where is that?
I had five.
I had two.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think that they're counting the NES and SNES online.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I know what three games I've played this year. It was Mario 64, Galaxy, and Odyssey. I played all those recently, so anything else would be like...
Those are one game.
I think mine is zero because it doesn't even say how many games I played on Mario.
These aren't here. Even Mario games. The Mario missions are like apparently actual like random like game universe challenges they throw around. Like, so for example, I'm looking at this one where participate in the Splatoon 2 Splatfest, sign up, basically like typical, like, you know, do this and get 5 votes or something. Participate in the Versus Challenge Cup December event, sign up for the blah, 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 explore box, oh God, that freaking Hot Topic knockoff. Explore box lunches, Super Mario must-haves, participate in the Tetris 99 Maximus Cup, you know, stuff like that, so. But somehow I did one of them. Now I'm wondering what the hell that was. I didn't even play Mario 35 yet.
I didn't play that yet. You're not missing much.
It's not fun?
I didn't like it.
I wonder if it would be better if it was Mario 3 or 2 based, honestly.
Joe, 56 hours. 6 games.
Is that what Joe has?
No, it's mine.
Oh my god.
That's like...
And literally it says like... It's like, oh, what are your most played games? Animal Crossing and Tetris. That's it.
My I realized that my both my total hours played, you know, that's got to be skewed because since I stream on a different account, those aren't counted in my main account.
My
streaming account doesn't have like an email address attached to it or anything like that. So it's like missing my entire playthrough of Xenoblade Chronicles for one. All of my Skyrim, even though Skyrim still ended up in second place on my most played games on my main account, where I've got too many save data to actually access it anymore.
That is bad, really, that you have too many save files.
My Skyrim Switch situation is very...
Situation.
Yes, my situation. Could go on a very special episode of Hoarders, I'm pretty sure.
I feel your that pain on that. Reminds me of
something. My Skater XL mod folder is essentially getting to that now.
Yeah, it happens. Hey, what was everybody's top
crashing and losing your file for your mod folder?
I want to know what everybody's top games were.
Like, I know what mine was this year. Actually,
Exit the Gungeon.
What was it?
Exit the Gungeon and Ib and Ob, Animal Crossing, and Pokemon Shield, and then the NES online thing is my top five.
Besides the NES top online thing, I've only played one of those games.
Wow.
So my number one was Animal Crossing, which I think is common across many, many people.
Yeah.
Same.
Number two, Hades. Number three, Dragon Quest XI. Mm-hmm. Then Paper Mario, and then Dead Cells.
Huh.
Beat. Yeah,
good line.
I'm assuming we'll just do that for everybody. I'm curious what everybody else was playing too.
Unexpected, actually. I got Animal Crossing. That one's expected though.
Yeah.
Pokemon Sword, Nexomon Extinction, Moiro Crystal H.
What the fuck?
Wow.
This is all on Switch?
Wait, are those?
Yeah.
Okay.
The fact that Moiro Crystal's on there is the laugher right there. Like, wow, I love titillation.
And that's the one game by that developer I don't have yet.
It's a good game. Definitely good.
I mean, I have the Moiro Chronicles H or whatever, the other one. So
they made this one better in a lot of ways, believe it or not. Like it's like the social elements are easier to deal with.
Yeah, I remember that from the review.
Someone listens, Joe.
Yay!
Someone might. Somebody always might. You know.
That's the limit. Might.
Never know.
Sometimes.
My tops.
What else was everybody playing on Switch here?
My tops were Animal Crossing, of course.
Of course.
Skyrim, King Oddball, and then Dragon Quest XI. So I played more King Oddball than I played Dragon Quest XI.
Wow.
That says
and
a
then
lot.
And then Monster Viator. Which makes sense because I love that game and I'm currently working through it.
Nice.
And I think I beat Legend of the Tetrarchs last year, so it was like my second. It was like either my second or third. Oh no, here we go. We have it right here. It was my fourth most played game last year. So
you'll be happy to hear that last year TikTok Travels was on my top five.
Mine too.
It was
my number five.
Yes, our destiny's connected. TikTok.
TikTok. TikTok.
Will's got the Switch.
TikTok, TikTok.
I think that's everyone
that
who has
everyone?
A Switch. Or is there someone who didn't read off their list?
I mean, I haven't said my list yet, but I mean,
because you don't have a Switch.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I know what my, like, top three games, like, even just outside of Switch that I, like, dumped into for the year, if anybody has an idea of theirs as well.
God, I have no idea.
Yeah, I would.
Well, Chris, what did you dump a lot of time into this year?
Well, I guess technically my top three for time consumption would be Magic Arena, Skater XL, and Animal Crossing, technically. So. But I believe it's in that order. And on Skater XL, I'm up to... It's a lot. I'm just shy of 100 hours, I think.
Have they added more content to that game?
So they just did an update, like, maybe a week ago. It might have been less than that now, but it was to add some of the mod integration that they had on the website that they were like hosting a lot of this stuff from and integrated it into the console versions of the game. So you could actually download like new maps and new like gear. So like t-shirts, you know, pants, decks, all that kind of stuff. That alone, like before, I think I think Session was the one that I covered for the show, right?
Yeah, because I covered Skater XL.
Okay, so like to me, and I know I talked about it a little bit in the review, but like Skater XL, as far as like where they've come over the course of the year, Skater XL to me has done way more work than Session has. As far as like actual like, and they've been doing more community based stuff. So like even with obviously with everything going on in the past like couple of months, they've been doing like stream giveaways and like, you know, getting people to like make like shirts and decks and stuff for the online download community, and like they were giving away prizes for like ones that had the most votes and stuff. So they're like they're really taking more of the like games as a service communal kind of aspect to it and like running with it more than I have seen with some of the other ones. So I can really appreciate the work that they're kind of putting into it. I mean, obviously I've over the years, and even just from doing the stuff from the show, I feel like I've gotten a better appreciation for what goes into making a game now. I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
A little.
Totally.
That's a smidge. Magic dust.
Oh. Are we ragging on the Cyberpunk? Is that what's going on?
I have no idea. I wasn't listening at all.
I took a break. I actually got to play that a little bit because I'm doing the Steam Share thing with Tim, and he got it. And I haven't hopped in for probably about a week, but that was also because I was like, I'm kind of waiting a little bit. I don't want to just like marathon through it and then just burn through it and not enjoy myself with it. I think the last time I left off, I'm somewhere around like level 14-ish, 14, 15, somewhere in there.
Oh no, is it pulling its weight?
I mean, I can't speak to any of the, you know, the things that people were experiencing with like older console versions and stuff like that, because obviously I'm doing it on PC. There has been enough, more than its share of issues on PC as well, even just with optimization, because like I could run just about anything like current with high frame rates, like hitting above about like 130, 140 frames. If I'm like, if I bump everything down to like its lowest settings, I can squeak out like 55 frames.
What are you talking about?
Like Cyberpunk. 55, 60. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. I was kind of like waiting a little bit to see if it's going to get optimized a little bit more before I hop back into it and really like dive deep. But with the time that I spent in it, like I am still enjoying it for what it is, because like I was obviously looking for something to sink some time into. Yeah. So, I mean, it definitely fulfills that. I mean, I'm doing mostly like side shit, and I'm still seeing stuff that I know that like I've talked to Tim in, like independently, even though we're on the same path, we're seeing vastly different stuff in the game.
I will ask this though. So you are enjoying the game, right? You said you're enjoying it.
I was.
But you also simultaneously acknowledge that it may have some like, you know, technical issues here and there, or glitchiness or whatever.
100%,
right? Yeah. So you acknowledge that you can technically do both of those things, right?
100%. Yeah. And
at least on PC, I mean, you can do both of them.
Yes. And I will say too, like, is it discouraging that, you know, it's become more widely accepted that things come out in like not ideal states? I really don't like that that's become a trend, and everybody else is obviously getting sick of it too. There's still something to be said about, like, you know, in any creative like aspect, right? Like you're doing painting, you're doing music, you're doing movies. Like at a certain point, you got to be able to step away from it and look at it unobjectively and just go like, is this interesting enough, and does it hold its own merit at its point right now?
And I agree with that. My the thing that happens and why I asked that question though, and Tim has seen it too, from like a group that he's in where we're in together, is that there is.
You guys are talking about different Tims, by the way. I'm pretty sure.
Yes. 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 My friend Tim is the old original OG like SML Tim.
Yeah.
Tim, and Tim Eckham is like, I'm the new cult classic, Tim.
Yeah.
But like, my issue is that people, like, for example, like, you know, that problems with Cyberpunk are apparent and they're abundant. Like, there's no secret. It's also noted that the problems exist primarily outside of the high-end units. So if someone brings them up, I come across way too many cases where people are like, oh, come on, guys, it's not that bad. It's a great game. And they go into this, like, tirade of defending the product.
I mean, it is... even though it's a broken, buggy fuckstick, it is a pretty fun game. I have to say, I have thoroughly enjoyed the, like, 70, 80 hours I have with it. I really enjoyed it. I just finally got to a point where it glitched on me, and I have to wait for a patch before I can continue it. Because near the beginning of the game, you lose your car, and you have a mission that you have to do so it will get fixed. That mission broke for me.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I don't want to run around and keep stealing motherfuckers' cars. I use the stash in my car to store my guns, goddammit.
So, oddly enough, and again, I think this is what keeps me interested in, like, what this game tries to present as far as, like, everybody's stories being different. Like, I hit that mission, and there's a lot of other options in which you can resolve that issue, and I chose to ignore it for a while. Like, I just walked everywhere.
Oh, I couldn't stand that. I've spent like 80-something hours before I even got to that point.
Well, it took me like 20 hours to realize there was a fast travel system.
Proud of you.
What is wrong with you?
Because I was just like dude, playing. So again, like I literally like I wanted to kind of like use this game as an experiment for myself to can I completely like engulf myself and get sucked into a game like I used to when I was younger, like go in as blind as possible, like, and there's plenty of games that I've sunk tons of time into with way more problems. So
I'm glad you said, because that's where it ties. This is where it goes back to ultimately. Like, so, like, if someone says, like, this game has a lot of glitches and stuff, what are you going to play it on? I'm going to be playing it on a base PS4. I don't have a Pro and I didn't get a PS5. Or I'm playing on the Xbox. I didn't get the Xbox X or the Series X. God, I hate to say these games.
the names are dumb. The names are terrible. Let's all agree on that.
So, as a result, the game is going to be riddled with bugs. And when people come to defend it to me, I'm like, the problem is that I never once commented on if the game is fun. I don't have the means or the knowledge to make that call. And I'm okay.
You can't even get to that point.
Yeah. Game is fixed up, is all patched up, or I get a system that can run it well, I could revisit the game and play it the way it was intended to be played and then base my judgment on the game itself. But it kills me when you try to acknowledge that the game itself is buggy and glitched, which is why you won't play it. Mm-hmm. And then people defend the game. In fact, that goes to lending a reason for why when you were saying, like, I hate how more games are becoming acceptably glitched. That's partly why. It's because people...
Because people still buy them. Yeah, it's just like, all right, they still crushed their sales numbers.
Yeah, they said, what, like 13 million sales?
You're stupid.
And that includes refunds?
I mean, again, let's not discredit that there's, like, a pretty extravagant, like, variable in this situation versus every other video game released prior to now. Because everybody's just sitting there just like, again, I'm guilty of it too. I actually had every intentions of not even like having this game on my radar until like next year when I can get it on sale and there's patches.
Mm-hmm.
However, because I have the game share thing with Tim, I was just like, all right, it's here. I might as well just download it and give it a shot. And at least like, I mean, I'm currently sitting needing something to do to keep me occupied. I'd rather not put it off until a time where I might not have that time. So I figured if anything, I might as well just give it the old college try now. But and I think what I can absolutely say that the game does right, and I think this is what keeps people in the camp of wanting to defend it, is that it really is creating a environment and a genuinely like a world for you to just kind of like drop into and just like really try and like absorb yourself with. And I tried doing that with other previous games with that type of scope, like your Skyrims and stuff like that. And obviously like your Skyrims and Oblivions and stuff like that have just as many bugs, if not more sometimes.
What?
But again,
all I know is Judy's hot.
But like, again,
you pulled the pin on that one.
But again,
Todd would never give us.
There's still merit. There's still merit to that game because you still see how many people will defend that game and live by that game because of the other things that it does right. And I will say that, like, over the years, there hasn't been too many other games that created this type of like a world to get sucked into, in my opinion, in quite some time.
But here's one last element that ties into that, though. So I think Chris is probably the best candidate to discuss this because he's the one I've known who's played the most Skyrim ever on every console. So, like, we all know Skyrim had bugs and stuff, too. Bethesda games have bugs and stuff. Do you recall any that were...
Bethesda games are bugs. They don't have bugs. They fucking are bugs.
They are bugs. Yeah, yeah. It's almost like part of the appeal.
It but was until they fucked that, though, up like, Fallout 76.
Would you say there were any bugs in Skyrim?
Yes.
That stop. Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I barely have like I've like Skyrim. 25 hours in Skyrim, and the game broke for me like four times where I couldn't even play it.
So they're asking, Jesus were like Christ. Game-ending, like file-killing bugs?
Yeah, file-corrupting, had to start over. Like,
even now, there are still some in fucking New Vegas, for fuck's sake, that they never got fixed. I have played that for over 400 hours across like five or six fucking saves, and I still have yet to be able to beat the fucking thing.
Oh,
every time my goddamn save has gotten corrupted. And
but even with that experience, you still enjoy the game for what it is, yes?
Some of it. New Vegas wasn't my favorite one. I prefer 3 and 4 over it.
Wow, it's that
I
one
like,
guy.
I like, yeah, I like the DLC for it. The DLC is fantastic. The main game I don't particularly like. I prefer these guys are clearly the fucking bad guys, and these guys are clearly the good guys, and I just want the good guy ending, which is why I love Fallout 3. Whereas in New Vegas, everyone's a piece of shit. And you got to choose one to help. And it's like, I'd rather just kill all of you and be fucking done with this.
Well, I will say that's I kind of got that same kind of vibe in Cyberpunk. And I think that's what's sucking me in. Because at first you go like, all right, I'm going to try and play this as like, well, at least for me, I was going into it as like, I'm going to try and be like, you know, a modern like Judge Dredd and just be like, all right, I am the law. Like,
I just went into it to be the biggest slut I could.
See, like, you know what's actually really funny? Every single instance that I've had where those types of options have, like, opened up, I've shut them down every time.
Like, see, the bad thing is that at around 80 hours in, I still haven't hit a single one of them. Because I did, before I even started the first mission, you know, the tutorial mission.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the one that I didn't know was a tutorial and it took me 8 hours, yeah.
Yeah, the one where you go and talk to Deshaun. I didn't even go and talk to him until I was like 60-something hours in. Because I just went around Watson doing all the gigs and shit.
That's kind of how I feel. This is, like,
yeah, I love that stuff. That was fantastic. And I was like, maybe I should do the main mission finally. Just maybe.
And then you see the splash screen and you're like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, so I've seen Flash Green at like 65, 70 hours into this? Awesome. And then immediately after, I went and got in my car, and then the game broke, and I was like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
I just want my goddamn car. Because buying cars is expensive, and I've put all the money
for that.
I was going to say, I kind of like that. I had just as much enjoyment of getting in and figuring out the economy of the game. Cause like I went in and I was like, oh, wait, like I could just buy this energy drink for $10 and then deconstruct it with my crafting thing and then get the crafting materials and make stuff. I'll just do that. Like,
Cole, in chat, give me the glitch to that cause I need money badly so I can buy cars, lots of cars, all the cars.
Dude, just do that. Seriously.
I'll have to get the details from it, but basically, like, somebody was saying in in another chat I was in earlier, they were like, if you just buy something and then resell it, it's broken to the point that you just get like $4,000 back immediately.
Oh, so the legendary crafting material, I think.
Yeah, if you just keep doing it, then you get enough money to buy all the cars and throw the achievements.
I literally spent like my first 3 or 4 hours in like that main like city hub just hitting every vending machine and then just like doing the time skip thing for like 24 hours so that they all restock and then just just buying everything.
I feel like I should ask this.
Gold immediately or money, whatever.
Yeah.
So I literally, I'll just go in, buy every single like $10 like energy drink that comes in a can, and then you deconstruct them all and then just sell the crafting materials.
What I'm going to do when the game gets patched. I can buy my fucking car again because I don't know where I am in the game.
Well, because I wanted to pay off the guy that gives you all the...
Oh, I paid him off forever ago. I did that before I met with Deshaun, too.
That was the only thing that I knew that was going to cost a shit ton of money. So I'm like, I'll just keep going until I have that. Yeah, and then I've made
easily over 10 times that before I talked to Deshaun. But I just kept buying fucking cyber implants. my character's already pretty well specced out and kick ass.
I kind of come from like a background from like ARPGs and stuff like that, where I'm a sucker for skill trees. And when I looked at the skill tree and saw all the subdivisions, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna love this. Like,
yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, but you can level up all your skills without actually putting points into them as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, like just doing whatever. Like shit. Yeah.
Sadly, you can't go beyond whatever that is, like cool stat. If it's at 6, which is what my cool stat is, your stealth can only go up to 6.
I didn't know that, so that's good to know.
Yeah, all your stats are that way. Right now, I think I'm level 17, 18, and my tech and in intel? God, I can't remember the names of these things. The one that's related to crafting and the one that's related to
The tech one, I've been trying to max out as much as possible.
Yeah, I've been doing both of those, and then almost nothing else besides those two. I'm just like, I just want these two so I can craft shit and so I can open doors.
Opening doors is always fun.
I mean, I'm assuming that you probably picked it up for yourself, yeah?
Me?
Has yours ever come in, Joe?
I did get it. It came like 6 days late from Best Buy. Thanks to them. I ended up just buying it digital and I sold the physical copy. But I kept the steelbook.
That's a very Joe move.
That sounds like your MO. So
I made $50 off the game. So I'm happy with my turnaround. I've only put about 2 hours into it so far, but I haven't run into any issues. Granted, I am playing on a Series X, so I'm not going to run into any issues, but people think it's like some magical different version that we're playing on the Series X. And people are like, if they would have gotten rid of the last gen versions and just kept the new gen versions, it's like the new gen versions aren't out yet, people. We're still playing the Xbox One version on the Series X.
It's just on more powerful hardware.
Wait, yeah. I did not. So you're saying, the Xbox version is the Xbox One, but they just print the compatible or upgraded on Series X on the top.
It's not even upgraded.
Well, no,
it's not upgraded.
Yeah, it's not even upgraded yet.
Oh, wow.
And just like the PS5 version is not upgraded yet. That's just the PS4 version over there.
Well, then just with a different case, basically. Damn. See, that I did not know this, but I guess that does make
sense. Yeah, the next gen isn't coming until what, March? I think it was.
Maybe. Who fucking knows at this point?
Yeah. March, ever. Quote, unquote.
See, that's the one I'll buy if I want to give it a shot, because at that point, like, all the knickknacks will be worked out. Hopefully, I'll maybe have one or both of those systems by then.
Well, if you buy the current one, you're getting the next one. It's just you have to wait for that upgrade, which is going to be some sort of gigantic patch, I guess.
But
you just have to wait. Angert says you could get it with your COVID vaccine.
But also, if you wait, I can take that COVID vaccine money and then get it on a discount, because it will be getting on sale at that point.
Oh, they've decided to give you money if you get the COVID vaccine.
No,
the stimulus.
They give you a steelbook.
No, if it's the one that I like, they
COVID vaccine comes in a steel book.
I want that goddamn Yakuza one, goddammit.
Go to someone's house, like, check out my collection. You just hand them the steel, but he opens like an old syringe. And like, what was this? My vaccine, baby.
COVID vaccine steel book.
That's only the first one.
Limited edition. Sequel. No, they wouldn't have two steel books. They would make a steel book that has two slots, so you could put the second one in there.
When you get it.
Unless you go to Best Buy, which you get the first steel book, and then by buying it from Best Buy, they give you a second exclusive steel book.
I have two Yakuza steel books.
I was like, who are the... When I saw that, I was like, oh, I guess they only give
if
it
at Best Buy. If anyone has that, I hope they die. I want all the bastards.
the new so one? Bad.
No, for, the steel book.
For like a dragon?
You would really hate me because I had it and then took it back to the store.
I'm pretty sure mine's sitting under my Christmas tree right now.
I was like, I didn't see the point in having two steel books and I got to buy two, get one on it. So I was like, I'm just going to take the Best Buy one back.
Okay.
You're talking about the Yakuza steel book for Cyberpunk, though, aren't you?
Yes.
We're talking about actual Yakuza.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, well, I wouldn't mind that, too. That'd be nice.
And how that came with two steel books at Best Buy.
I just bought two of the Yakuza games.
Hey, I got an important question.
What's up, Tim?
Why, when they're all in Game Pass?
Pernell, how's Dragon Quest Builders 2? Because we need to follow up on last year's holiday podcast when you went to the store and bought it. So how's that going?
You know how much of that game I played? The trip to the store was the game.
You wanted it so bad, you went to the store on the podcast.
You want to hear something that adds into that, just how bad it gets for me with these things? So I was looking through my Facebook memories, and over the years, I would occasionally make a picture like, okay, this is my 2000 blah, blah, blah holiday haul. Like, these are all the games I bought from October to the end of December.
I remember that, yeah.
I looked at the one from I want to say it's 2018, and I have played none of those games. None of the games in the pictures. I was like, how in the world? I wanted this shit. I was looking forward to these games, and I never touched any of them. What the hell's going on?
Joe, I'm surprised that you didn't reinstate this, the back catalog.
What do you mean?
Remember when we used to hit, we would make, a certain thing for, the tail end of the year, we got to hit these
for
games
February.
In our back. Yeah. Oh, it was for, yeah,
for
yeah,
February. Yeah. I wonder if we should try doing that again.
No, I don't have enough time for this.
Yeah, you can try. I can fail.
I mean, that was kind of half the part, too. It was just which ones did you actually do?
We're on this podcast. We're automatically failures by default. So.
Yes. That is a very fair point, Jacob.
That's why I try to start doing the whole game of the month thing. And sometimes it works and sometimes it does not work.
How's Control going?
It's actually going great. I love that game.
It's a great game.
This
Control
weekend,
was fantastic.
Now, this Ori treating you.
Ori? Who is Ori? What are you talking about? Who is Ori? I know Ori.
Ori?
Who is Ori? Oh, mercy. Someday, Cole.
Let's fight.
You and I are going to become best friends. It's going to be amazing.
Let's power up.
You guys mentioned Control.
Point out you're gonna lose because I have a cane.
Yeah, she's gonna fucking crack you with the cane. But you mentioned Control. That leads us to the news of the week.
Oh my god, there's news.
Wait, we're gonna cover news?
All right,
no, we're not gonna cover news.
Around.
Aww. No, I only have two things written down.
The games with gold too.
Yeah, we could talk about games with gold, but Control, the ultimate edition for next gen, is coming February 2nd.
Bananas.
Yeah, so Control, the Series X and PS5 upgrade, digital February 2nd, retail March 2nd.
Yeah, so the one that you have to buy again if you already have the original, because they're dicks. Yeah.
Unless you bought it on sale for $20,
like I did. Yeah. But still, that was
because of Game Pass.
Fucking shitty thing.
I didn't. I'm too salty about that whole situation to buy it again.
I was salty, but I was like, I don't have any of the DLC, and the DLC costs $20.
I already had the DLC.
No, I didn't have all the DLC, so I figured I got to spend $15 for one of the DLCs, Might as well just go the extra $5 and get the next gen copy as well.
Yeah, oh no, that God. Makes sense.
I got
if you hadn't already bought the DLCs.
No. Earlier,
which I only bought in like August, like when the Alan Wake thing came out. Now,
yeah, 505 definitely fucked people over with that.
Oh, I'm bitter, quite bitter.
The worst thing is, at some point, they accidentally unlocked the upgrade for people that had the DLC, and
yeah,
then
on PlayStation they did it. Yeah, we covered that when it happened.
Yeah,
they done gave everybody the upgrade for free, and then they were like, "Oh, oops, nope, that wasn't supposed to happen."
You're supposed to pay for something that is easily accessible by way of a flip of a switch. Greedy bastards.
Yeah, bitches. Cole, what are the games with gold?
I only know one of them because I couldn't find the actual post. Cole. But I saw where Macca had tweeted that Little Nightmares is one of them.
I bought that when it came out. I still can't beat that. Get all the achievements in that game.
I love Little Nightmares. Nightmares 2 comes out in February. So
Cole, have you 100% of the game?
Because I did everything except for the speedruns. I don't do
speedruns. God damn it.
Is it good?
Okay.
I love it. It's great. It's fantastic.
It's sitting on my coffee table. Oh, sorry. On my.
You'll never touch it,
dude.
You're never going to talk, fantastic. Jacob, by the way. You're never
going to
talk.
Yeah, I know.
It's been in the last 3 Christmas tree pictures I've taken.
What's wrong with you? Just play your fucking.
The sequel is coming out in 2 months.
Which is a good excuse to finally play the first. They announced
the DLC Dawn
sequel, and I was like, what do you know? Time to play the first game and break it out.
I need to play the DLC for that. I still haven't played the DLC.
Joe can vouch for me on this. That's happened with the show before, too. Where it's like,
well, you're useless, so that doesn't shock me.
Huh?
You're useless. That doesn't shock me.
I am very useful. I'm a man of many talents. I eat. I can sleep.
Those are 2 things I can't do, so actually I'm pretty
pretty jealous. Yeah.
Pretty jealous, yeah.
This man is incredible.
But Purnell also makes carbon dioxide, which would be really helpful for plants because they need that to grow, except all of Purnell's plants are plastic. So
hey, I got one monster plant downstairs that is extending its way across the kitchen and up to the ceiling. It's great.
Oh my God. So Jacob, you said you had games of gold?
You need to get it taken care of.
Said you had games with gold?
Yeah, so January 1st through the 31st is Little Nightmares. January 16th through February 15th is Dead Rising, which looks to be like the Xbox One version.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, because I'm looking at a picture. Anyways, King of Fighters 13 is January 1st through January 15th, and then the original Xbox game Breakdown is January 16th through January 31st.
So I will say, after a couple of stinker months, that's a pretty decent month.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
the fact that they're giving away King of Fighters 13, I'm like, that's good enough
for
me. Yeah, that's
awesome. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that one.
That's literally all I need. Everything else could
take that off my Steam wish list right now.
Yep. Joe, can we talk about how the best game of the entire 360 era is on Game Pass?
What game?
What is it?
Shadows of the Dam.
Oh, that game's great.
Well, that's a
clue. All right, fair.
I thought you were going to say Skate 3 because it's in fucking EA Play.
Well, I was thinking Peggle, but...
I actually replayed Peggle because they put it in.
Fuck Peggle.
I am one of the few people who have the Peggle 1 and 2 completions on 360. Not the 1. People cheesed it for the 1. I did it legit because I'd already done it on the 360. But I actually have it for the 360 because you couldn't cheese it on that. Just to prove my prowess at Peggle. Huh?
You're supposed to play that for me too, and you didn't.
I don't remember agreeing to that one.
Yeah, forever ago.
Oh, imagine that. I'm going back on her word. Now.
I don't remember my own name half the time. I don't know why you expect me to remember something else.
Yeah, that's been over a year at this point, and I only know because you brought that up that you had 100% of them like 3 or 4 times, and every time I'm like, you need to play that for me still.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe one of these days I'll remember.
I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm never going to get fucking done. Nope. I'm going to drink my booze now.
Okay, so while you drink your booze, let's try doing something show related. It's the end of the year. This is our final show of the year. So what's everybody's game of the year?
Y'all are just slacking on this one. Hades. I've been sitting here
It's Hades. Waiting to say what it is.
All right, yeah, Tim, go first. Tell us about Hades.
The answer is Hades. Hades is incredible. It's the best game that came out this year. It's pretty much obviously, Hades was very well reviewed. Has been winning some awards, not at the Game Awards so much, but it is one of
Last of Us Awards.
Yeah, it would have won there if Sony had
a Last of Awards.
That was depressing. I was just like, oh, great, yeah, Last of Us, great. I fell out of Naughty Dog's sway many years ago, and I am no longer impressed by their ability to animate humans well and write a story.
It's kind of the bare minimum, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's
like we just keep giving them.
I guess it would depend on the game that you're making, but yeah, it sounds all right.
The bare minimum.
Yeah, I mean, it's like their tech is very good, and they, you know, they write good. You know, I don't know. It's just like actually playing their games, I find
they write good.
They feel limited, but they should be limited, but they are when you're playing them.
Yeah, it's just like. Yeah, when I saw that Last of Us 2 was like 30 hours long, I was like, yeah, no thanks. Fuck
How
that.
Many corridors is that going to be? How no, many buildings that you could see but not enter is that going to be?
Like, Uncharted 2 was great, well-paced, and then since then I've just been like, no thank you. Hard pass. Anyways, Hades, is a fucking awesome game that is like pretty much perfect. I would recommend to pretty much anybody. Like, it just, everything about that game is awesome. Like, it looks awesome, the music is awesome, the gameplay is awesome. Like, all the story and characterization around it is fantastic. Like, I really have nothing bad to say about it. It's just, like, incredible in that for a, you know, a run-based roguelike game where just the story of it is so good. And just, like, the way the game works to keep you engaged over... You know, a situation that you might otherwise feel gets a little tedious, it does not.
My question for you.
All right, give me a question.
Because I've had Hades on my watch list for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not seen anybody mention anything about the accessibility options in it.
Okay, so there is a mode called God Mode.
Yay.
Which starts out with, it gives the enemies... takes 20% off the damage that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And each run they do a little bit less and a little bit less damage. So you will gradually get your way through the game playing on that. Because it goes up to like 80%. If you just
die a lot, eventually it's like, here, let us help you out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there's ways like, you know, as you, if you're just playing the game normally through, you are upgrading, you are buying passive upgrades that will, you know, make you gradually stronger and stronger and stronger, and so that you can overcome. I mean, certainly, you know, pro players of this game will just pick up a fresh file and they can just blow through it because they're good like that. But yeah, the God mode is there so that anybody, even people who aren't as great at like twitchier action shit, can pick it up and have a good time and play through and make progress and become engaged by the story and the characters and all that shit that's going on, which is also very good, you know?
Yeah.
I don't
have that. Yeah, that's why I said, like, there's, you know...
I like how Aki just...
I don't even know that Aki is even actually here anymore. It's like...
The inebriated spirit
of Aki.
Yes. I said I don't have just one is my problem. There's so many good games that I've played this year, and it makes me sad because I can't pick just one.
Pick one. What are some of your highlights?
Marco and the Galaxy Dragon, which is a visual novel.
You don't say.
Fuck you. Beyond Blue, which is this... gorgeous, fucking, just super chill game where you just float around in the ocean and it's very, very pretty. Observation, a one where you play as a robot on a spaceship trying to save people. The Persistence, which is like the only roguelite I've ever enjoyed, and Cole hates it because she's a doofus.
What was the theme of it that made you like it? Like, what was the trick or the good gimmick?
It was a first-person shooter. Honestly, that's probably
Gunfire Reborn, then?
The Ballistics.
No, I've never heard of whatever you just said.
It's an indie game, Gunfire Reborn. It was actually one of the other games that I probably played the most this year, surprisingly, but it's like it's a roguelike-ish kind of thing, but it's a first-person shooter. Another game that, dude, like, those developers were putting out patches, like, holy shit, like, every 2 days. Like, like since it released, like, and they've been keeping up with it. It's awesome. It was really good. Like, I was surprised that, like, not as many people, like, it wasn't on a lot of people's radars for some reason.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. I'll have to go look that up when this is done. Another one was Lost Ruins, which is a game I'm not sure is actually out yet. I previewed it in September. It's a Souls-like game, a 2D Souls-like game, and it's funny. You play as a schoolgirl who's been transported to fantasy land where everything's trying to kill them. Then there's obviously Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning, because I've been waiting for that to be remade for fucking forever, and mm-hmm. Haven, because it is just the cutest fucking game. Just the cutest fucking game.
I need to finally give Kingdoms a shot. I know, Joey, that was like you raved about that game.
That game's a lot of fun.
Jacob, what are your really games of the year? What's some of your highlights?
So my favorite indie game that I got to play was Hotshot Racing. That thing was a shitload of fun. That was a really solid game. Yeah. So I like that. Streets of Rage 4 I had a lot of fun doing online co-op with one of my college buddies doing that. I thought it was solid, and I know Tim disagrees with me on it. I thought the soundtrack was fantastic. I still listen to that regularly. It's okay. I know it's him. Yakuza Kiwami 2, which I just beat finally after playing like 60 hours into it. Like 30 of that spent in the host club alone.
Jesus.
Hey, all right. Once you start playing it, you have to start doing the hostess club. You'll understand. You know,
they're fantastic.
Oh, it's amazing.
I love the Yakuza.
It's almost as good as wrecking like an entire gang of, you know, unruly youths with a bicycle to the face. So there's that. One of my favorite browser games was Mr. Boop and the Curse of the Dinner Party. Which is a short point and click adventure game based off the Mr. Boop comic strip.
I've never heard of it, but I love the name of it.
It's pretty fun, and the comic strip that goes along with it is it's pretty all over the place as well. Highly recommend that. And then honestly, like, my top game for the year, which unfortunately is not going to be Yakuza Like a Dragon, just because I haven't had a chance to get the time in on it. My favorite game of this year is Star Wars Squadrons. The return of the space flight simulator. God, that thing was just like, it's just fantastic. Everything feels right. I wish I had enough money to get like a joystick for my Xbox One for that game, or even just play it in VR or something like that, because that's got to be pretty tight too. But they're updating that as well. Like, they just released an update that has the B-Wing and the TIE Defender in it. So, like, they're keeping that game going. Huh?
What the fuck is the B-Wing? I don't know that one.
It's in Return of the Jedi. It's the one that looks like a upside-down sword.
Oh, I think I know what... Okay.
Yeah.
You know it if you saw it.
They made it to make toys.
Oh, I see it. I hate that one. I think it looks stupid.
I think you look stupid.
Well, I do.
Got him.
That's irrelevant. Boom, that doesn't roasted. Change anything about the fucking ship.
From chat, Jordan in chat says his favorite games of the year are Resident Evil 3, Zombie Army 4, Last of Us 2, and Ghost of Tsushima. And then Root Beer is my jam, saying Persona 5 Royal is not only my favorite game of the year, but probably the second best game I've ever played after Breath of the Wild.
Wow. You're all right. You're all right with me.
None of those games have naked people in them, so.
Well, yeah,
unless you mod it.
Bogus content.
Unless you have imagination.
You gotta start back to those social links.
Trust me, I have fantastic imagination. There still ain't nobody naked in this.
Yeah, we gotta make sure that we don't forget about Streets of Rage 4, man.
Hell yes.
Dude, like, I was so pumped for that. And honestly, like, soundtrack was amazing. I went back and played through the entire campaign again with my one buddy who hadn't played it yet, like, a couple weeks ago. And he was just like, damn, man. Like, this is, out of all the games that people have been trying to, like, revitalize over the past handful of years, the way that they did Streets of Rage, I think, was just such a good representation and an homage to the old games while still making it, like, current and run well. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, it was new and fresh while still paying respect to the original games before it. Like,
yeah, and still being able to, like, unlock the old characters, and, like, it's cool. It's,
I love the old sprites in the game. The fact that they have, like, the old sprites just in
Well, and I also like that it's different movesets, too. So it's not just like, okay, you unlock the old guy, and you're still doing all the same shit. It's like, you get the movesets from the old versions of the game. So it's like, you have more of an incentive to unlock more of the characters, because they're all going to play different. Like,
no. Jumping back in chat a little bit, some other people, Lucas said, my most played games were Animal Crossing, Minecraft Dungeons, and Cole, You'll Be Happy, Ori and the Blind Forest.
It's about goddamn time. Ori is definitely my game of the year.
I mean, obviously, I have to ask, too, because of the whole, like, I played Minecraft Dungeons for a while. Joe, we played it for a little bit, didn't we?
No, we didn't. Because they didn't have crossplay, but now
they do. Crossplay, right. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, now they do have crossplay, so we got to give that a shot.
Yeah, I'll hop back into it. Well, so again, it's because since it was, who was it, Raiders? For me, I don't know if it's just because, like, I've like played ARPGs to the point of, like, nauseam. Like, I didn't really find much of, like, a end game to the game, so that's why I kind of stopped with it. I didn't mind that it was a little bit more casual, because, like, it's kind of nice to have, like, a little bit of a change of pace and more games filling, like, the ARPG space and not all of them having to be, like, just a Diablo ripoff.
No.
But, yeah, I was just kind of, like, perplexed that there wasn't a lot to it. Like, you could still have a game that's, like, simplified, but still have a decent amount of content. I didn't feel like there was a ton in it. Like, but that was just me. And I also haven't, like, popped back into it. I know they did, like, maybe, like, a new area or two.
Well, they've done, like, they're on a second season pass type shit now.
Okay.
They've added. Yeah.
Well, maybe it'll be nice for me to, like, hop back in and see, like, how different it is from, like, because I jammed it for, like, the first, I don't know, like, 2 or 3 days, and then I finished all of the stuff that was in the game at that point, and I was like, all right, I guess I'm done. Like,
yeah, no, there's, like, extra difficulties and stuff now, and, like, there's the Apocalypse difficulties, and then Apocalypse Plus, and it's crazy hard if you actually keep going with it.
Yeah, okay, and there's new DLC out for it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Is that part of the Game Pass, too, or do you have to, like, get it separate?
There's two separate ones, yeah. Oh. Like, there's the Hero Pass, which came with, like, the first two DLCs, I think it was, and then now there's the new pass, which you gotta have to get the extra stuff.
Yeah.
Got it.
Raider Biz.
Even, like, Diablo, there was the new season for, like, that just came out, like, a couple weeks ago or whatever. I played it for, like, 2-3 days, did everything, was already done with it, and I'm like, well, I thought I was gonna play this for longer.
Raider Biz mentioning a couple of good ones: Animal Crossing, which we've all mentioned, Crash Bandicoot 4, D-Leveled, and here's one of my favorites of the year: Tetris Effect Connected.
I got to play that a little bit. And I enjoyed it. Yeah,
that is a crazy ass game.
Tetris Effect Connected is definitely one of the top games of the year for me.
I beat it on Expert the other day, and I was so proud of myself.
I did, too. You sharing your achievement with me made me want to jump onto Expert and finish off the campaign as well. So
nice.
Yeah. One of the highlights I got to give to this year is Dirt 5. I know a lot of people complained about, like, some of the glitches and hitches with the game, but it's been a long, long time since I've poured as much time into a racing game as I did with Dirt 5. I completed the career. Like, there's 100 and some events in that game, and I did them all.
That sounds like love to me.
It was an awesome game.
Root Beer had mentioned, Fight and Rage and Spirit Fairer?
Oh, yeah.
Fight and Rage was pretty good.
That is a hell of a beat 'em up.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so tell me about that. Like, I don't I'm not actually not familiar with it at all.
Yeah, it's a like Streets of Rage. It's a belt beat 'em up. You're mutant animals. It just has like, I think a really
fantastic.
good feel to the combat and like it's, grungy graphics, grungy music.
It's very kinetic. So like if you've played Streets of Rage 4 and liked it, I like Streets of Rage 4 as well, but when I finally got a chance to play it, like I'd been playing Fighting Rage for a bit and like I was gushing over for a while. And what I came to notice is that one thing that Fighting Rage does different that makes it still like really stand out is the combat is very fast and frantic. You'll be fighting like there's areas in the game where you'll be fighting like 15 guys on the screen at once. And they're all trying to come at you. There's no like round robin waiting to get at your character. And you have to actually be moving fast enough to do dodge rolls and like jumps and kicks, like the dodge roll being like from Streets of Rage 3. Basically, the good jump.
So the amount of enemies is almost more akin to like a Gunstar Heroes or something like that.
In certain areas, it gets crazy, but it never feels overwhelming. It's more like it just means you have to deal with do good crowd control. It forces you to get good with crowd control. And the music is really good. Like, I love the composer of that game. His name is Gonzalo Varela. The entire game is just kind of like a bunch of, it has multiple endings, and the endings are all based on how many people are playing the game and what characters are being used while you play the game.
I like that.
Honestly, if you like beat 'em ups, you need to own it. Like, that's all there is to it.
Cool. Yeah, no, I'm looking for stuff to add to wish lists and stuff, so.
Spiritfarer is on my to play while we're on hiatus list, and I am really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's on my Game Pass list. I other games that I don't think anyone's mentioned, the FF7 remake was really good.
In Game Pass now too, right?
No,
that's Final not Fantasy VII is not the remake's not on remake Xbox edition.
Yes, the remake. Okay. Yes, I think people covered Final Fantasy VII like 23 years ago.
I am like Final Fantasy tarded, so like
Jesse's so cute.
It might be Dragon Quest you're thinking of.
Yeah, Dragon Quest XI did just come out on Game Pass.
Yeah,
Jesse's cute. Isn't that really all that matters when it comes to Final Fantasy VII remake? Jesse's adorable.
Yeah, she is.
She's the best. I don't care what anyone has to say. Fuck Tifa. Fuck Aerith. Jesse is the best.
And her. Line them up.
Well,
line them up.
The hell with lining them up. I have a big enough bed. It's fine.
Down at the honeybee.
I have like two games I feel like would end up on the list that no one mentioned, but probably for good reason. Yakuza Like a Dragon.
I can't wait to play that.
Hit my list. Like, I bought it because people kept telling me how great Yakuza was, and the RPG shift. I want to see how this goes, and it's fantastic. The narrative.
Are we still talking about our games of the year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's based out a long time ago, so I wasn't sure.
We've been going around to different people.
It's
because you're just not the only one here, Aki.
I fucking
stop being Trump.
I'm not sure about that. And no, fuck you, and no.
Yeah, how can anybody be sure about that in this pandemic?
I don't think the game's been out long enough to be a fucking game of the year game yet.
It came out this year, so it's been out this.
And I played a lot of it.
But if a game comes out on the 31st and someone's like, "This is my game of the year," then they're a fucking moron.
If it beats everything they've played the rest of the year, then so be it.
Yeah.
Yakuza did it. It's
last year, I think it was, wasn't it last year where I was like, I had only just played, no, 2 years ago, I played Night in the Woods, and it was like 2 or 3 days before the end of the year, and I was like, fuck this, this is the best thing I've played all year.
Did you sometimes beat it?
Huh? Yeah.
Well, I don't think you're going to beat Yakuza.
You don't have to beat a game to say that it's your game of the year. The qualifications for a game of the year is it's the game that resonates you and that you feel good playing and that you enjoy. Like when you think back to the year, all since January, and you go, the one game that stands out the most and is really at the tip of your tongue. Then it's a game of the year. It's what meant something to you.
Yeah. That would be it. It's Yakuza Like a Dragon, and the other one would be La Mulana 1 and 2 Hidden Treasures Collection.
Oh, of course he's going to fucking bring up La Mulana.
You better get goddamn right.
Chris, are you going to mention Skyrim as your game of the year?
Oh, sure.
I'm sure it came out on
game of the year every year. Praise Todd. No,
just hit Game Pass, so fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, when that Hidden Treasures came out and COVID was first getting full steam ahead, I pretty much locked that bad boy and played it to death on both difficulties. Something I don't ever do for anything. But
I got some games.
Name them up.
What are yours, Chris like Taylor? Or two?
What? Oh, there was like three people that said something at once, I and
just,
I wanted
what are
to
your
start
games?
Talking.
Okay. So my favorite game of this year, that I like reviewed for the show is Crimson Clover World Explosion.
Hmm.
Because never heard of it.
It was a top-down shooter, shoot 'em up, and I don't know. It was just like it was exhilarating, and I really, really quite enjoyed it. I think it was one of the best shmups I've played. So, and definitely since it came out this year, that got it there. And also honorable mention to Monster Viator and Crystal Ortha, both of which came out this year, and I loved them quite a lot. And of course, got to shout out Shadow of the Ronin, The Revenge to the Samurai by Gilson B. Pontes.
Jesus Christ.
Get slow!
A real Wait, contender so if there
have,
ever was one.
Can we have favorite game journalist of the year? Oh, I know Chris has
hands
one.
Down.
Experience of the year.
Shout outs to my boy, Joshua Goodpaster of happygamer.com.
For this unique experience, check him out.
Exactly.
Check him out.
You got to reach out and get him on the show.
Don't
encourage that.
Some other games that came out as well that were very close to the best. Alwa's Legacy. I really, really, really
good
love
man.
That one. Yeah.
Great game.
Brigandine.
Good
the new
man.
One.
Game.
And Fight Crab, I think.
Nice. Yeah.
Delicious yeah. game.
Good choice. Those are all top games for me. And
I
also
want
like
on Xbox so bad
games that have nothing to do with this podcast, but I wanted to shout them out anyway. Darius Cosmic Collection came out and I've been waiting for that for many years. And now it's here and I've been playing it a lot and I really, really love it. And, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. I think that is the best way to play. And I finally beat that game now and I'm playing through the extra content and it is just utter joy.
Gotta ask.
Yeah.
What did you do all the side quests? Did you say, fuck no, I can't do this?
I didn't do all of them, no. I did a lot of them.
There's a lot of them.
I beat the game in only 75 hours.
Holy, that's unexpected.
and
now
then,
we know
course,
why it can't be your game of the year.
But yeah, I think the game outside of the podcast that I am just going to say was probably the game of the year has to be Animal Crossing, because that was I know we all joke about it now because it's been out for like 9 months and stuff, but I mean, it was really special that in a time when we don't get to hang out with our friends, that we had a place to hang out with our friends in video games. And
I think the impact of that game for this year was like really big.
Yeah.
It came out right as COVID was starting and things were shutting down.
Yeah,
I wasn't even going to buy the game, and then when COVID came, I was like, what do you know? All my friends are playing it. I'm buying it too. I was like, I thought I learned my lesson from the last two Animal Crossings. But
yeah,
no.
I got it on. I actually got it the day I started playing it the day before it came out because GameStop is dumb, and they were like, oh, you should go ahead and have it. And so I started playing that as the clouds were darkening. And like, yeah, I just really have to like give props to that game for bringing us something like really special that we absolutely needed, on top of just being a good game, you know.
It does deserve that level.
Still playing it. Played it earlier today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree too. I think it, like, even though for how many games did come out this year and how many games didn't, I think that nobody could really deny the impact that Animal Crossing really had on this year for gaming, because there was a lot of people that like aren't into games at all that got into it because it was accessible. Correct. Yeah.
I mean, my sister doesn't play games hardly ever, and she bought a Switch and I bought Animal Crossing for her just so she could play it with my kids.
Yeah.
And I will say that I'm technically, I'm a little partial too, because, you know, that was my extremely early Christmas gift from Joe for this year.
Nice. So. Yeah. And I guess last game I wanted to shout out was Moon, a remix RPG, which I really, really love, but I haven't beaten it yet, so I can't call it game of the year.
Good boy.
So, how do you like, beat meanwhile, Reventure, which you can beat in, I think you said you can beat in like 2 hours if you play the right path.
Something like that. I don't know.
Game of the year. Beat it in 2 hours.
Yeah, but I'm playing it slow, and it's a game that, like, it's kind of nice to just kind of dwell in it for a while. And so I really, really love that one. But again, I haven't quite put in the time, and I didn't get it to cover for the podcast, so it's just an honorable mention.
And I feel like if you had to beat the game for it to qualify, Coles would be entirely Radaleka game.
Right. I did beat Ori. I'm
honestly amazed it isn't that anyways.
Yeah, my game of the year is Mystopia.
Guys, those are probably like a Radaleka god represent. It's like, you son of a bitch.
Wait, but I can also include them Extalon games. And 50 Years was kind of a banger. It was way too short. And
50
and
years wasn't long enough for you?
No, but damn. I mean, a little more fleshing out. That would have genuinely been one damn good strategy game.
Yeah, 50 like, years was pretty solid.
Yeah, it wasn't bad for what it was. It could have just, it just needed a little more to hold up, you know, but.
What a decade do or a century?
Jeez. Just no, an extra decade, yeah.
Yeah.
60 years. Now we're good. Oh, man. So are there any other games anybody wanted to shout out for the year? Or should we get down to business? Because we actually do have a few games to review.
I'll shout out one more, I guess, just to get it out of the way. Yeah, yeah. So it's not going to make anybody's game of the year list. I can promise you that. But Death End Request 2, which I reviewed for the show.
And I like that one.
Rarely for the show, I beat the shit out of that game. And did the second quest run through as well. Because the narrative was fire somehow. Like, it really did a good job of being like a horror adventure game as far as the narrative was concerned.
Yeah. So, I have to similarly shout out Azure Lane Crosswave. Because I beat the game, I played through all the DLC, and now I'm watching the anime. So,
nice.
Not that they got a game about waifus who are battleships.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shifus.
They're booby ships. I'm going to go get more booze. I'll be back.
Big booty battleships.
Very much so.
I know I briefly mentioned this before, but I will take this opportunity to mention Gunfire Reborn again, mainly just because I looked at the page for Steam, and it's on sale for like $10.
Nice.
Nice.
I'll have to look that one up.
It's cool. It's a roguelike FPS RPG kind of thing. It's cel-shaded, but it's... fictiony, you play as either like a cat or a dog or a bird, but they're cool. It's fun. All of the other games that I really like dumped time into for the year, like I didn't even realize I have 70 hours of this on record.
Wow.
And it came out in May, the end of May.
Yeah.
So I can't say that I've dumped as much time into an indie game in quite a while. So, but I will say that I do really want to check out Hades, because you know a lot of people have been talking about that. So,
yeah, I'm in that boat. I'm torn between whether or not I want to try to play it very, very soon, or if I want to not play it soon, so that when we do Tim's thing, I can say game I missed was Hades. What the fuck?
I hope Hades hits more platforms.
I think it will. It's done absolutely. Very well.
Yeah. All in due time.
The thing about it is, like, am I wrong in misremembering in that the game didn't even have, like, a hype buildup? It was just like, here's this new game we've got.
It was on early access for, like, 2 years on Epic, and then it was like, oh, coming out. It's out. Here it is. And it was like, oh, that thing that's kind of been simmering is now out. Oh, and it's on Switch. And...
I had not heard word one about it until it was out on Switch.
I was shocked as hell, and I was like, oh, but it's got, I like the theme, sold.
Yeah. I mean, it was on my radar because I like Supergiant, But yeah, it was a bit of a shocker when it was like just suddenly like, oh, here it is.
Yeah, I just hope Supergiant shows some love to Xbox. They've avoided Xbox this entire generation. Like we got the Bastion. No, we didn't get Pyre. We didn't get Transistor on Xbox. We got the Bastion re-release, and that's it.
Well, aren't they on backwards compatibility?
Which ones?
The Bastion and Transistor.
No. They didn't come out for 360.
Bastion did, because I played it on 360.
Yeah, but Pyre and Transistor didn't.
Yeah, okay. I can't keep track, because Pyre didn't make it to Switch either. I didn't realize Pyre didn't make it to Xbox.
No.
Yeah, oh, the other two Transistors, they're weird sometimes with where they put games.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully Hades shows up everywhere. They spread the love. If it's winning all these awards, put it everywhere.
I do want to mention this game real quick, too, because it deserves to be mentioned horribly somehow. It's because it just happened on the Switch. It's been like, I saw it show up on a list like a week ago.
Oh, here it comes.
What? Where it comes what?
Dicey Dungeons.
No, I love Dicey Dungeons. This is a game I think is bullshit.
I like that game a lot, too, actually.
It's called Isolation Story. And apparently the title, the plot is Virus 19 has ravaged the world, taking
over
a citizen in literally 1714 inside of Lockdown City. It is a life sim style game where you buy supplies, avoid people, and manage your sickness using the new GOV phone, Gov phone.
Jesus.
All right, Chris Taylor, you got to see if Good Pastor did a review on that one.
Who did?
Got to see if Joshua Goodpaster did a review on that one.
I hope
Mon it.
Does.
Mon it.
It's a unique experience. Not like our own. It's a
unique experience.
What is it? What is it called?
Isolation Story.
All right.
Oh, my Lord. We have problems.
It has not been reviewed.
It has not. Oh, man. All right.
Send him an anonymous message and ask if he can
bring
it to his attention. Tell him you believe it is a unique experience and that he should check it out and get his opinion on it.
Raider Biz, are we looking for a unique review again? Yes. We are always looking for unique reviews. Unique experience. But yeah, I have a feeling if we don't wrap this up, we're just going to keep talking about games all night. So is there anything else anyone wanted to talk about? Or are we going to get Summy out of here and review three frigging games because we can't go one episode without reviewing shit?
I want to give my
just going to go to sleep.
I thought we were just going to.
Yeah, I'm up for passing out.
All right, so Jacob, you're heading out. You have any final words?
There it is.
No.
Okay. Hockey, are you heading out?
How profound.
I can stay. I don't mind.
I mean, you don't have anything to do, so.
Jacob's fine.
Well, cause trouble.
All right, Tim Ekibis, are you going to hang around or are you heading out?
No, I'm going to fucking sleep.
Do you have any final words yourself?
No, just, it was a good year. I had more reviews this year than last year. My most reviews in a year for the show ever, so yay.
Yay.
You should be proud of that, actually.
I am. Seriously. Well, you know, it is in the course of, I think it was, 55 reviews, which I know isn't the most, but that's more than one a week. And, you know, what was a thing to do while, everything else in the world was crumbling around. So, yay. Thank you.
I'm glad I was your backup plan.
I mean, if we all got paid for this, it would be the front plan, right? I mean.
Oh, God, I wish.
Yeah.
I know, that would be totally sweet.
I wish.
But as it is, it's still, because filming things got, like, totally flushed down the fucking toilet. Because it's like, well, I guess we can't have people over to work on filming.
No.
Like, I could do it by myself, but boy, is that a pain in the ass. So, yeah, it filled a void. There.
Been learning a lot about not green that I wasn't this year, honestly. So I can totally relate with anyways, how much that sucks. Yeah,
definitely did more. All right, cool.
All right, have yourself a good one, Tim, and we will talk to you next year.
See you next year, guys.
Bye, Tim.
Bye.
Mr. Huber, are you going to stick around or are you heading out?
I am probably also going to
Huber.
Dipsy Medusel.
Dipsy Medusel, Doozle,
huh? Yeah. Well, you enjoy Dipsy and
Well, we got Doozle. The title now.
Well, before I go, if you don't mind humoring me, I do want to, like, say some stuff. I am really appreciative that, like, you guys have still, like, kept this going, man. Like, I know that, like, you know, with everything that's going on, like, I'm glad that I was able to, like, hop in and at least, like, do this one with you guys. But,
come visit more often.
We miss you.
Well, and I obviously specifically want to thank, Joe again, specifically, for coming down and giving me my really, really extremely early Christmas present. Cause
hey, a lot of people chipped in for that. I'm just happy you got to play Animal Crossing.
Dude, I like, seriously, like, all you guys, like, I really want to thank you guys because it helped more than you guys really could even know. So thank you. Seriously.
Good man.
Good words.
Yeah. Love you guys. Seriously.
And also shout out to Rootbeers My Jam, who dropped 209 in bits so that we could buy Horus on Switch, which is on sale for 209. So George,
I've done.
Drop it, Horus. Bits.
It's a cute game.
Horus.
Yeah, all right. Well, adorable. Chris Huber, we will let you get going. Visit us more often.
Absolutely. And I will say too, before I go, I will start the download for Minecraft Dungeons so that we could fuck around with that. So
nice.
You let me know when you're, I mean, tonight's probably like shot. So just hit me up tomorrow.
Sounds good. Take it easy, Chris.
All right. See you guys.
Later.
Bye.
All right, everyone else, we got shit to do. We got three games to talk about tonight. Only three
whole games.
Three whole games. It's a massive, massive load tonight. First game to talk about, we couldn't pass this one up. This came in last minute, and Chris, Cole, I couldn't ignore this one for you. It's called Calico, developed by Peachy Keen Games, published by Whitethorn Digital, released December 15th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $11.99. Calico is a day-in-the-life community sim where you are given an important and adorable task. Rebuild the town's cat cafe and fill it with cute and cuddly creatures. Build up your cafe by filling it with cute furniture, fun decorations, yummy pastries, and get it bustling with animals again. Cole, how about you start off?
So, this is basically a day in the life simulator where you can create your own character. You give them their name. There's tons of character customization options, far more than I was expecting for a game of this caliber. I was just like, I want to go out of my way to point out I'm a fat girl, right? And I am not ashamed of it, but it just is what it is. But when I create a character in literally any kind of gaming space, creating a character that is a fat girl like me, not so easy. Like, even when there are plus size options for character creation, they still don't quite get it. Like, their idea of a plus size is Marilyn Monroe. Calico is just like, fuck that. You want to be a plus size girl? You're a plus size girl. Most of the characters in the game are plus size. Fuck yeah.
Cool.
Why isn't that a thing more?
It's funny because I only found one male presenting character in the whole town, the Heart Town, and he looked like Joe, but with a bunch of flowers in his beard.
Yeah, Poppy.
Yeah, yeah.
There's give me a screenshot.
There's
I
actually,
can't. I'll get to that though in my part.
I can't. There's actually a character sheet because you need to interact with the NPCs in town. In a life sim, you own a cat cafe, you gotta interact with people in town, do the quest for them. It's all very simple. You don't need me to tell you this. If you look at any trailer, you're like, yeah, I know exactly what kind of game this is. But there's a character sheet, and I definitely recommend you read it because they've really gone like balls to the wall for representation here. There are non-binary characters, there are trans characters, there's Gabby is fairly female presenting, but uses they pronouns. So it's really interesting how they've just like built out this entire town of NPCs that are a variety of different characters that we don't typically see in games. And when we do see them, it's usually like hyped up, like, ta-da, this is the trans character. And this game is just like, no, it's there. It's in their sheet, but we don't need to like ham fist it down your throat. It's just, you should accept that that's who they are. And it was great. Like, I didn't even realize some of the things about the different characters. Like, I caught on they were using certain pronouns with different characters, but it didn't register anything until I full on went to the sheet and was like, oh yeah, that character's dressed in a witch's dress, but uses he pronouns. That's pretty cool. I really appreciate the way that they like built it all out, right? Like, there's a lot to be said for that, because that's not the kind of representation we usually see in games.
No.
So it was very nice. The art style for Calico is definitely one that kind of has to grow on you. Talking about the art for the game was my number one concern, because this is not an example of what I look to when I'm looking for good game art. And yet somehow I don't hate it. At least there's no anime chins. And so I was immediately like, dodge the bullet. At least I can say that it, you know, it's one of those things where like it gets prettier the more you look at it. But there's also the more you look at it, the more you're like, that is some quirky shit. There's a lot of graphical oofs going on, if you will. Like, trees just clip through hillsides and nobody fucking cares. There's an odd quirk where it kind of looks like they just use the texture fill for the stairs, and so the texture moves as you're moving. And yet somehow all these weird things that I would pick apart in a more polished game and would be like, fuck, what were they doing? I look at it in Calico and I'm like, yeah, it just kind of adds to the charm. It's just part of it. I don't know. It feels in place, even as weird as it is for something that I would normally bitch about. I'm not sure if Chris is laughing at me, so I don't know if he's going to agree with that.
I'm laughing at different things.
Okay.
And also, Chris is
drunk
exhaled.
Too.
Well, like, okay, so actually I just sent Joe a picture, and this is a perfect example of one of the things that I have like kind of a problem with in this game. So I tried to go and take a picture of the guy with the beard with the flowers in it. Poppy. But, you know, he runs a shop with Lily, I guess.
That's his daughter.
His daughter. And the thing is that the game will sometimes give characters the exact same behavioral instructions. So the entire day, they will move around, like, with their graphics literally mushed together.
Yeah.
And that is what's happening right now. I'm sitting here staring at Poppy and Lily being the same character and just kind of being this horrible nightmare mesh.
So there were definitely a lot of issues that went on as far as like the programming side of things went. I would have issues with characters who would be walking down the street, but they weren't walking. They were kneeled down working in a flower bed. And so like they were just scooting across the world on their hands and knees. And then one instance, there was a character just walking through the trees, just way up there. And I only know this because eventually you unlock a broom and you can fly around, or you can use a potion to make the animals fly. And I was flying and I was just like, why is Ash walking along the treetops? And then at the same time, I just kind of shrugged and was like, at this point, that's just where we are in this game.
Yeah. If you start to fill up your cafe with animals, which, by the way, I do want to mention something about the cafe in a little bit, but you know, those animals will just start doing things like just clipping through. Like, yeah. Sometimes they'll follow you outside, but they'll go through the wall. And sometimes they'll just be standing straight up in midair because they're kind of in proximity of a chair. And they don't really interact with anything in the cafe. They just kind of walk around and they have little like behavioral patterns in there.
Sometimes the cats will lay on the tables and stuff.
Yeah. Actually, the one thing that does delight me. Okay, so I guess I'll get to the cafe part right now. so you own this cafe, and I was like, okay, so it's gonna be like Little Dragon Cafe, where you have to like learn recipes and like, you know, do things to get more customers and then get more money, and then with the money you kind of get more resources. And turns out that's kind of not the case at all. I don't know where you make money in this cafe, because I have like 10 recipes now, and I've made every single one every single day, and I only get money from quests.
You put them in the tray so that they're in the display case?
Yes.
Okay. When you'll only make money when the characters go to your cafe, and that's only at certain times, and also it's bugged, and they don't always buy.
Do they actually give you money?
So I had they would actually, but I did have I did see where some people were saying that there was a glitch where if there were more than two of them there, you wouldn't get paid. I didn't have any issues. Like, I could look up while I was doing other things and see my money going up. And like, by the end of the game, I had well over $30,000, and it was still crumbling.
Well, then you're not getting the same bugs I am.
Yeah. Because
I've been working very hard for my no money.
I actually had, for all intents and purposes, I did have a game breaking bug. So it just wasn't that I couldn't get money. It was that, early on, Ash gives you a quest where you need to collect 7 bunnies that are different colors. They've used their magic to spawn these bunnies, and you need to catch them.
Okay.
And there is a white fence, and you need to put the bunnies, all 7 bunnies in the white fence. There is a later mission where you need to have Ash speak to the construction cat so that they'll clear out of the way so that everybody can get back into the city.
Yeah, I've got a thing to say about that quest pretty soon.
When I did that, it glitched and it froze, and my game, I had to dashboard it.
Well, okay, of course, yeah, that's what I did.
It only saves when you sleep, and it only saves when you hit save. So I backtracked and lost a ton of progress because I hadn't saved in a while.
Me too.
Which sucks for all intents and purposes. It does. It just sucks. But it's easy enough to get back to what you were doing. Except for, despite all the other progress that was lost, for some reason, it rolled back my game to before I triggered the bunny quest. But the bunny quest was still active and said 5 out of 7, and there are no bunnies. All the bunnies are gone, and the bunnies will never come back.
So Cole broke the game.
Yeah.
Oh, she killed off the entire species.
And extra hard.
And that happens a lot. Like, so there's basically like about this game, it's one of those things where, it's one of the biggest examples, I think, of a AAA, like, amazing idea hitting the indie wall, like, or the indie ceiling, like, really hard. Mm-hmm. So, like, the fact that you can take a calico, or I don't know if he's a calico, but Pudgeums, the fat cat, and use a potion on him to make him large, and then use him as an epic mount to get through the game. Like, just something like that alone. And, you know, the representation, of course, all that. I really love how the characters interact. Like, there's so much I love about this game, but it's kind of like, oh, if this would have been made by a bigger studio with, you know, more people and more, like, you know, people making it tighter and better and less glitchy and stuff, this would be such a great game. It's like, it kind of makes me frustrated that so many good ideas are going into this thing that is like floaty and glitchy, and there's no fast travel, there's no on-screen map, there's no way to tell what direction you're going except to walk and then check. There's a map,
it's not
but there's no compass.
Yeah,
your character is a circle on the map, so if you start walking in a direction and then check the map again, then you know what direction you're going in.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, also it's weird, like the only option in the game is to invert y-axis, which is fine, except that weirdly it's like invert camera up and down, but if you have it unchecked, then it's actually inverted versus anything else. And you can turn up camera sensitivity. You can't remap the buttons to where A is talk to people and B is, you know, something else. Like, it's B confirms and A denies. So they've got PlayStation controls in this Nintendo game. And, like, just different little things like that, as well as the great big things of, like, you know, it's a game that's more focused on side quests than it is actually taking care of your cafe. And it's like supposed to be relaxing, but at the same time, it's like they're flinging you all over the map just to do like little side quests. And, you know, I'm sure that's relaxing and stuff, but like I kind of really wanted more out of the sim part of this. Like, I don't know. Like, I think like it's, I would, you know, I'm like feeling the opposite of Cole in that like I'm more critical of it because I like the idea so much and I wish they were in a better working package.
Yeah. Well, it's only $12, so I need a verdict. Yeah, exactly. Let me hear what you think.
I definitely can agree that I wish it worked better. I do know there are patches coming. It's already on PC. Everybody else is waiting for certification. I saw the patch list. Most of the shit I complained about, even my missing bunnies, are on that patch list. I can definitely get what Chris is saying. I found that I just kind of like relaxed into the game and was like, I don't care if it fucks up. I'm just going around playing with these goofy animals. When you find some of the like really out there weird ones, you can't help but just get a little tickled by it. Look, I had a sparkling raven on my head with its wings flapped out as I was running around.
And that's one of the ideas I absolutely love, is that you can wear any animal as a hat.
Yeah, that's how you store an animal, is you put it on your head. And I was like, it's so ridiculous. And yet I'm fucking into it. And I'm just here and I'm giggling and I looked forward to playing it more. And then the day I remembered, I was like, oh, but I beat it all except for the glitched bunny game. And I can't even play it anymore right now. So yeah. I was disappointed. But I mean, if they're working on it, kudos to them. I hope they get it smoothed out a little more. But I can understand the, you know, I want more from it.
No. Well, I asked for a verdict. You still didn't give me one.
I don't care. I have opinions about this game. I think it goes with a try it. I think you have to really decide if you're the kind of person who can overlook the oofs to get the actual like quirky joy out of it.
Yeah. I'm going to say it is $1 million game in a $12 game. It's $1 million ideas in a $12 game. Let's call it that. $1 million ideas in a $12 game. But I still think at $12, if you can roll with it, buy it. It's a try it otherwise. I'm pretty much in aligned with Cole on this one.
If they added more quests and shit, I would absolutely load it back up and go.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, hopefully they expand on it and patches are on the way. So
I kind of want them to make like the whole like other game, but with all these good ideas and like but have it be like something really over the top. And yeah, I was like, do it again, but have a giant budget. And I know that's impossible, but whatever. That's just a testament to how much I liked so much of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Calico 2, Calico Harder.
Yes.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Catch, developed by Infected Pixel Studio, published by Chili Dog Interactive, released December 18th on Xbox One for $9.99. Amazing. You finally found something you really needed. Colorful and enthralling platform game with the bold anthropomorphic animals as protagonist. Meet the Catch. Serlina wrote in a review for this one. This is what she's got to say. Because my laptop is bullshit, I will type my review in the body of this email. Fuck. That's how she starts the email.
Dun, dun, dun. Green.
Good job, laptop. All right. Good evening, SML Podcast. It's your girl, Serlina, and I'm reviewing Catch for the Xbox One. Developed by Infected Pixel Studios and published by Chili Dog Interactive, Catch is a psychedelic platformer where you play as the absolutely adorable cat named Catch, who finds that his home has been invaded by nefarious villains who've captured his friends, and it's his job to free them. Let's get to the review. First, there isn't much story to this game. What I summarize is pretty much it. We're treated to a lovely comic book style cutscene in the beginning of the game, then off you go to play. The first level is a bit of a tutorial in that it tells you what you can do, but that's pretty much it as well. The controls are simple. You move with the left stick, jump with A, kick with X, look with Y. Right off the bat, you could double jump, which pleased me to no end. Chris, I'm sure that you enjoy the whole double jump right at the beginning, yes?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah. Seal of approval.
Yes. You are also able to climb by grabbing onto the walls, and since Catch is a cat, that just makes too much sense for a video game. So, no platformer is complete without collectibles, and Catch has a few of them. The first are stars which float around each level waiting for you to get them. The second are his friends. There are always three friends in each level, and they're caged. You have to kick the cages to break them out. The third collectible is time. You're given a certain amount of time to complete each level, which is achieved by getting to the green swirly thing. You can also extend your time and score by collecting blue little asterisks that are littered about. If you're able to reach the end and you really shouldn't have an issue with it, you'll receive a cute little complete level graphic with how many stars you collected, how many friends you freed, and how much time was left over. If you get everything, you get a sticker, and the stickers are collected from each of the collectibles. The really good part of this game is how it looks. It's flippin' gorgeous. Remember when I said psychedelic platformer? I meant that. The game is saturated with all the colors of the rainbow, and it looks marvelous. Catch himself is incredibly well-designed and quite dapper. I wish there was some options to change his clothes with some of the collectibles as currency, but alas, no go. Levels are designed well also. There are 50 levels over 3 worlds, and each world has a different color scheme and theme. That may sound like a lot, but you'll complete each level in maybe 3 minutes, so it won't take that long to beat the entire game. A few things I want to note. I like when you beat a level and you miss a collectible, you can go back and just get the stuff you missed and not have to collect everything again. I like that too. I also like that if you run out of time, it's not held against you. As long as you finish, the game will spot you a second and you'll get that sticker. Finally, this is not a difficult platformer. Some of the jumps may irritate you, but everything is attainable, including the achievements. If you're on that grind 2 to 3 hours, you'll get 100% of this one with a smidge of effort. Catch is available right now for $9.99, and should you buy it? Yes, I think you should buy it. Again, it's an easy completion, but it's fun and lively. I think this game would be wonderful for introducing young kiddos to the fantastically frustrating world of platforming. Hey, a holiday is coming up. Might be a good present for a young one. Just a suggestion. No pressure. P.S. Have a Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Yule, whatever holiday you observe or not, lovelies. It's been a blast. See y'all in the new year. Also, Joe Cam sucks butts.
Dude, is that true?
Wow.
I can neither confirm nor deny my butt sucking status.
That took a turn.
Yeah. Yeah. Got dark at the end there. So anyway, one final game to talk about for the year, and we're getting to SML After Dark territory. Final game to talk about is called Crawlco Block Knockers, developed by Cosmic Kankei? I don't know. And East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released December 17th on the Switch for $8.99. Return to the feel of the smoky 90s Japanese arcades as you pull, kick, and match blocks to reveal hidden images of the lovely ladies behind each stage. As blocks enter the playfield, knock them into marked zones while avoiding and smashing enemies. All as your workspace gets tighter, aim carefully to boost your score, but don't get boxed in. Purnell, tell us about Block Knockers.
Well, it's kind of funny that the game kind of gives you this stupid narrative of, like, you're a guy working in a warehouse factory, like a little lizard man. No one cares about that. but the actual gameplay is where it's at. And this is another one of those cases where I was expecting the game to kind of be more of a jokey vibe. Like, let's laugh at this game for a little bit. But lo and behold, it's actually kind of fun. The idea behind this game is that every stage is like, it's considered mainly based off of a girl, and each stage is 3 mini levels for that girl. So it might be like Wendy, right? And Wendy gets 3 stages, Wendy 1, Wendy 2, and Wendy 3. And when you go to each level, they give you a general like square board that you're playing on. But within that board, there is a silhouette of someone, likely the girl whose level you're playing on, that shows up beneath the board. And little like colorful blocks will pop up from the floor, rising up kind of like how Devil Dice does it. And your main character's goal is to match those blocks up in sets of 3 or more to cause them to reveal the floor beneath it. So if you match up 3 or more blocks together in like the corner, you'll get like just background imagery. But if you get it within the silhouette, you'll reveal more of the actual picture of the girl for the stage. And the way you match these boxes up is by either pushing them. And when you do that, it's like more of a kick. So you kicked it, and it goes as far as it can on the screen before hitting a wall or an object. You can pull it, which lets you pull it one at a time towards you, so you can kind of maneuver it that way. And that's pretty much the maneuverability of the blocks. You can pull them, or you can push them, or you can kick them. And essentially, you're just trying to get these combinations out. But it's fun in the sense that once you get past the whole, like, titties, you're actually finding yourself trying to, like, match up the silhouettes perfectly. Because if you're playing with enemies on the game, because you can turn enemies off, though it's funny that you can do that, because then it's just really a matter of just, like, how long till you reveal the pictures. But when you leave the enemies in the game, they appear from the size of the screen. They all have different, you know, behavioral patterns, whether it's like throwing bullets and flying in circles, or running along the outside edge of the screen, or running along the outside edge of the screen, but hugging blocks that showed up. You're still trying to navigate around all these enemies while moving the blocks around, and it starts to get pretty rough and tumble at a certain point. But if you do manage to crush an enemy with a block, you get a decent size, a bit of the board cleared off. So sometimes it's in your best interest to, like, clear some of the scum by smashing it with a block and killing it and revealing imagery. Though some enemies have multiple hit points, so it might take, like, two or more hits to do so, to knock them out. Every time you go through a level from, like, say, Windy 1 to Windy 2, and from Windy 2 to Windy 3, the image of the women gets a little – they change up, and they get a little bit more revealing to the point where it's like, hey, you little titties. And that ends up just being kind of like the incentive of, like, hey, you want to get the full picture done. But honestly, the artwork isn't even that bad. Nice artwork, too. It's got a very – I want to say more of a 70s vibe. 80s colors, but 70s art style. And then, like, you pretty much go through those. And if you get a perfect silhouette, which is you reveal pretty much only the silhouette, or rather you reveal the entire silhouette and don't waste any time on the level revealing other blocks, you'll get a bonus point score and you'll unlock a star. The only thing I've noticed stars really do, though, is, like, every couple stages is a boss fight. And you can actually pay stars you've unlocked to just skip the boss fight entirely, which I find kind of funny. It's like, you've seen enough cool imagery. And as a reward for that, you have to fight the actual bosses. So, essentially, I think the real reason about design is the fact that if you turn enemies off, you can't really turn off a boss. But if you turn off enemies and unlock all the stars by perfect silhouetting levels that don't have enemies on them, you can just pay stars to skip even the bosses, which means you can play the entire game without actually playing the game. Which, I guess, is still kind of a game, but it just seems like there's less game at that point. But what I will say is that the music for this game is legit solid. Like, I like it. It'll probably end up on Rhythm and Pixels at some point. I like it that much. It's good. I like the graphic design. The gameplay itself is fun. And it really kind of came out of nowhere, because this totally looks like a game that you'd see on the eShop and go, huh, what a joke game. This isn't fun at all. What's the point even dealing with it? But I also like reviewing games like that, because I like coming out of them with reviews like this, which is me saying, this is a solid game in its own right, and it's fun to play. If you're unconcerned with titillation and you just want to know, is it a good puzzle game? Yes, it is a little fun puzzle game. If you like titillation and puzzle games, well, then what the hell? This is an obvious buy. It does everything you want. It's a quality game, but of course, if you don't like titillation and you do like puzzle games, then stay away, because that is what you're ultimately revealing on the level. So you're going to be getting it whether you like it or not. So
you could have done a drinking game for every time Purnell says titillation.
I have. It's not for a unique titillating experience.
Unique titillating experience. Oh, man. So Purnell, $9. Your overall verdict?
I would actually say buy it for this one.
Cool.
Crawco didn't expect that, did they?
I played it as well. It's a cute, fun puzzle game. I had a lot more fun with it than I expected. The artwork, it's obviously not hyper realistic, so it's, you know, you're not going to be getting, like, top of the line nudity out of this game, but it's a fun novel experience, and it's a cute puzzle game, so fuck it.
He's like, fuck it, why not?
$9. Have fun.
The final review of the year is a fucking why not.
Fittingly perfect for what the game is.
Fuck it. You know you won. Oh, mercy. I like vitamin water.
All right. Well, that is it for this year. We made it through another one.
We did.
We did. And this was our hardest one yet.
I was going to say, that's actually kind of an accomplishment.
Yes, it is. We kicked its ass because we're Team SML. And baby, someone might listen. So we should give them something to listen to.
No one should listen.
Yeah, damn, they should listen to this show.
So anyone have any final words to end this shit?
Crappy New Year! Get drunk!
toys. Good Gentile girls, good Gentile boys. Bob's busted in, nearly scared him half to death. Had a rifle in his hands, cheap whiskey on his breath. Beer to his boots, he was covered with ammo. Like a big, fat, drunk, disgruntled Yuletide Rambo. And he smiled out and said, with a twinkle in his eye, Merry Christmas to all, now you're all gonna die. The night Santa went crazy, the night Saint Nick went insane. Realized he'd been getting a raw deal, something finally must have stepped in his brain. Well, the workshop is gone now, he decided to bomb it. Everywhere you'll find pieces of Cupid and Comet. And he tied up his helpers, and he held the elves hostage. And he ground up poor Rudolph into reindeer sausage. He got Dancer and Prancer with an old German Luger. And he slashed up Dasher just like Freddy Krueger. And he picked up a flamethrower, and he barbecued Blitzen. And he took a big bite and said it tastes just like chicken. The night Santa went crazy, the night Kris Kringle went nuts. Now ya can hardly walk around the North Pole without stepping in reindeer guts. There's a National Guard and the FBI. There's a van from the eye with this news, and helicopters circling round in the sky. And the bullets are flying, the bodyguards rising, and everyone's dying to know, oh Santa, why? My, 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 you used to be such a jolly guy. Yes, Virginia, now Santa Claus is dead. Some guy from the SWAT team blew a hole through his head. Yes, little friend, now that's his brains on the floor. I guess they won't have the fat guy to kick around anymore. But now there's no more presents for the children's enjoyment. And the elves have to wait in the line and file for unemployment. And they say Mrs. Claus, she's on the phone every night with a lawyer negotiating a movie right. They're talking about the night Santa went crazy, the night Saint Nicholas whipped, broke his back for some milk and cookies. Sounds to me like he was starting getting chipped. The night Santa went crazy, the night Saint Nick went insane. Realized he'd been getting a raw deal. Something finally must have snapped in his brain. Something finally must have snapped in his brain. Hell yeah. Something finally must have snapped in his brain.